to the land of the free and the home of the brave. We'll gladly pledge our allegiance until our graves. Established on the Bible, founded on God's word, it's time that we as Christians speak out, that we might be heard.
That a house divided against itself cannot stand alone. And this is the cry of God Almighty, America, come home. One nation under God, is it still true today? Or have we wandered farther and farther away? We've got to spread the news, both far and near. America, can't you hear? America, come home.
Liberty and justice, freedom for all, with the truths of the Bible, we stood proud and tall. Now we're murdering our children, condoning wicked men. Oh, can't you see the difference between now and then?
But the Father's waiting patiently, our sins to atone. And this is the cry of God Almighty, America, come home. One nation under God, is it still true today? Or have we wandered farther and farther away? We've got to spread the news, both far and near. America, can't you hear? America, come home. America, come
get it? Did you get it, Brother Todd? Got it. All right. Oh, goodness. Greens, that was a blessing. That was a poor Brother Darrell. I remember when they let you sing. Well, he wore his tie tonight just in case they'd let him. They just pushed him out anyway. Brett, you did well, son. I remember when poor little old Brett used to sit out there and weep while they were singing. And now he's included. Daddy's out there. God bless his heart. That was a blessing. I enjoyed that. Amen. Open your Bibles tonight to the book of Psalms. Psalm 85. Just 13 verses in this Psalm, and we're going to read all three of them. Take our text from verse number 6, but every verse in this has to do with what we're going to be speaking about tonight. So, if you found your place in Psalm 85, stand. Would somebody help Micah find his place? He hadn't got it yet. All right, Psalm 85. The Bible says in verse number 1, I'm a little bit hot up there on the lapel mic. Lord, Thou hast been favorable unto thy land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquities of thy people. Thou hast covered all their sins, Selah. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger. Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations? Wilt thou not revive us again, that my people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O Lord. Grant us thy salvation. I will hear what God the Lord will speak, for he will speak peace unto his people and to his saints. But let them not turn again to folly. Surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him. That glory may dwell in our land. Mercy and truth are met together. Righteousness and peace have kissed each other. Truth shall spring out of the earth, and righteousness shall look down from heaven. Yea, the Lord shall give that which is good, and our land shall yield her increase. Righteousness shall go before him, and shall set us in the way of his steps. I want you to notice again the cry of the psalmist in verse number 6. He says, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee?" Now I want to speak tonight on the subject, Lord, wilt thou please revive us again? Father, help me tonight. I want to be a blessing. I want to be challenging to our people. I pray that you'd help me to preach tonight your word and the message you've given me in such a way that our hearts might feel the touch of the Holy Spirit of God and the conviction of our lives as we grow cold and careless in our living. Now, Lord Jesus, we ask you sincerely, send a revival to America. There is not a problem taking place in our nation today that could not be fixed if your revival took place in our land. Heavenly Father, speak to our hearts. And may your people once again hunger and thirst after your righteousness and your will and your blessings. We'll ask it tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. In the first three verses of this psalm, the psalmist is remembering what God had done for the nation of Israel in times past. He said, "Lord, thou hast been favorable unto the land. Thou hast brought back the captivity of Jacob. Thou hast forgiven the iniquity of thy people and hast covered all their sins. Thou hast taken away all thy wrath. Thou hast turned thyself from the fierceness of thine anger." And the psalmist is remembering what God has done in the past for Israel, all the way from God's deliverance from Egyptian bondage to the present. And then in verse 4 and 5, the psalmist is being realistic about their relationship with God at that time. He says, "Turn us, O God, of our salvation, and cause thine anger toward us to cease. Wilt thou be angry with us forever? Wilt thou draw out thine anger to all generations?" And so the psalmist was admitting that because of their sins, God was angry with them, and they were suffering because they were not right with God. And then in verse number 6 and 7, the psalmist is begging God for revival and for the salvation of their nation. He knows that revival and salvation comes only from God alone. And he says, "Wilt thou not revive us again, that thy people may rejoice in thee? Show us thy mercy, O God, and grant us thy salvation." Then in verse number 8 through verse 13, the psalmist is telling us about the wonderful results in our country and in our lives and families when revival comes to a person and comes to a nation. Look, if you will. He said, the psalmist said, I will hear what the Lord will speak. Boy, it's a wonderful thing when our hearts are turned toward God and we will hear what God speaks. And then he goes on and says, for he will speak peace unto his people. Again, revival results in people enjoying not only peace with God, but the peace of God. And it says in verse number 9, surely his salvation is nigh them that fear him, that glory may dwell in our land. Let me tell you, our country is not going to regain its status in the nation of the world until revival is experienced once again. It was not our economic system that made our country great. It was not our Constitution that set us apart. It was not the Declaration of Independence. The greatness of our nation that caused people from all over the world to want to migrate to America was the fact that our nation was a nation under God. And we knew God, and God worked for us and blessed us and provided for this nation. And verse number 10, he says, mercy and truth, or verse 11, truth shall spring out of the earth. When revival comes, we'll turn back to the truth. And we'll speak the truth and declare the truth. Verse 12, yea, the Lord shall give that which is good. When revival comes, we bring ourselves back to the place where God can bless us again. Stop and think about your life. Think about your relationship to God and your relationship to the Bible, your prayer time, your compassion for others. The truth is, as we think about that, we can see more of the world in us than we can Christ in us. And the truth is, God would have to compromise His holiness and His Word to bless America as we are today. But when revival comes, people get right. And God will not hold back His blessings. He'll give that which is good. And our land shall yield her increase. And righteousness shall go before Him. Do you really enjoy living in America the way we are now? Where sin is looked upon with greater favor than people who love God and love the Bible? Do you really enjoy the problems we're having with the economy now? Do you really enjoy living in a place where men, by their foolish decisions, can bring on the economic disaster of our nation? It's not just one Madoff. There's a bunch of Madoffs in this world. Crooked, dishonest, seeking their own gain, not caring about what they do to others. And it's not just in the financial realm. Sin and immorality and ungodliness. But oh, when revival comes, righteousness will go before it. God shall set us in the way of His steps. Oh my. I want revival. I desire revival. On this July 4th weekend, I declare to you that our nation and our individual lives need revival just as badly as God's people needed revival in Psalm 85. Now, what is revival? Revival is simply the quickening of that which has grown dead and unfruitful. And that quickening takes place by the power and the presence and the person of God in the Holy Spirit of God. The modernist will tell you today that revival is out of date and old-fashioned. They call it foolishness and would have us to believe that there's no need for revival today. But they're fools and liars. If we're to know and live in the wonderful fellowship with our God and to enjoy His favor in our lives, then our old sin-sick souls and our worthless lives need God's reviving once again. To say that America or that Trinity Baptist Church or me and you don't need revival is like saying a man with cancer doesn't need a doctor. I'm here to tell you, Elijah under the juniper tree needed revival. Moses on the backside of the desert needed revival. David, after his sin with Bathsheba, needed revival. Israel needed revival and God sent it, but only after Hezekiah repaired the temple and cleansed the filth out of the house of God that had been neglected by their fathers. And you can read about that in 2 Chronicles chapter 29, 30 and 31. And when they got right with God, God began to bless. And people began to worship God and give to God. And I challenge you in the Bible to show me a revival that took place in the Bible where the people did not get right about their giving. You won't find one in the Bible. Every time revival takes place, they begin to get back to God and giving that which was His. In fact, in the closing verses of chapter 31 of 2 Chronicles, verse number 10, the Bible says, Azariah, the chief priest of the house of Zadok, answered Hezekiah and said, since the people began to bring the offerings unto the house of God, we have had enough to eat and have left plenty, for the Lord hath blessed His people. And that which is left is in the great store, great storehouse. So God blessed their people because they got right with God. They needed revival. The need of states in America and the terrible financial condition in our nation says loudly that God's people need reviving. Now, we sit here and we criticize politicians in Washington that don't know God and don't have time for God. But let me tell you, revival will never come through the politicians, the unsaved, ungodly politicians. It's going to come through God's people. It's going to come in the house of God and through the church of the living God, or we'll never know revival again in America. The need of our states in America, the United States, going bankrupt, giving IOUs to their people, are just another testimony of the foolishness and the folly of man and the need of revival in the lives of God's people. God's not blessing America because of unsaved politicians or presidents. God has blessed America because of the people of God, who have loved God and obeyed God and served God. Most, from our president on down, don't have time for God. Most, even in our churches, in Trinity Baptist Church, don't give their tithes and offerings to the Lord through their church. Do you know that the majority of the tithes and offerings in this church are given by 30% of the people? Those that don't give just go along for the ride and let somebody else pay the expenses. I'm simply saying we need revival. We need revival. And you say, preacher, are you getting on me because I'm not tithing? I'm not nearly trying to get on you as much as I'm trying to help you. There is a place where you can know God's bountiful blessings in your life. But not by holding out on God. We need revival. Now I want you to notice those of us who need revival. First of all, I want you to know the unrepentant sinner, whether they're saved or not, need revival. The unsaved are dead in sins. They're dead to God and dead in heaven, to heaven. And when revival comes, people will start getting saved. They'll start repenting of their sins. Why should unsaved people get saved when God's people won't get right? When revival comes, unsaved people will start getting saved. The backslidden and unrepentant Christian is dead to the will of God, to the power of God, to the protection of God, and to the blessings of God. And I want you to know, the unrepentant sinner needs revival. It makes no difference whether they're unsaved or saved. Then I want you to know the self-satisfied need the revival. I want to say that again because I believe many at Trinity Baptist Church fall into this category. You're satisfied where we are. You don't want to pay the price to take the next step. You don't want to give the energy that's necessary to teach a class or work a bus route or be at prayer meetings or sing in the choir. You're satisfied where you are. Just let me alone and let me sit and let me enjoy myself the way I am. Oh, foolish, self-satisfied Christian, don't you know you're missing God's blessings in your life? You're missing the greatest things of being a Christian. The Bible says, without a vision, the people perish. And this is our future. Without a revival, we'll begin to go downward and backward because we're satisfied where we are. Well, we've come this far. We've done enough. When you've done enough, God will promote you to heaven. Until then, there's still work to be done. I haven't heard the trumpet sound. I've not heard the archangel shout. There's still work to be done. And I want you to know the self-satisfied and those self-satisfied in Trinity Baptist need revival. Too many have grown soft and lazy. They don't want to put forth the effort to be victorious for the Lord in their life. Just roll with the flow. They're big Christians. Then may I say the indifferent and unconcerned need revival. God's people, if you study the people of God in the Bible, are to be a people of passion and compassion. Passion is that driving force in our life to do the will of God. The will of God for Jesus was that He might come, be tempted in all points as we are tempted, and go to Calvary and die in our place. And they call that, in theological terms, His passion. His passion. Is there a driving force in your Christian life to drive you on for the will of God? Well, not really. I'm just unconcerned and indifferent. We need revival. Why? When we have that passion and compassion, like Jude said, we'll be pulling souls out of the fire, making a difference. When souls are plunging into hell all around us and it doesn't bother us, we need a revival. The indifferent and unconcerned are usually uncooperative to the program of their church. The need for workers doesn't bother them in the least. The church can close down and shut down. Just leave me alone. Let me enjoy me. I don't want to grow any further or go any further or give any more or do anything else. Let them find Jesus on their own. The indifferent and unconcerned need revival. The unfaithful church member needs revival. God calls every one of us His children. And He expects us to live a life of dedication, sanctification, and faithfulness. We're to be faithful to God and faithful to His Word, and we cannot be faithful to God and to His Word and be unfaithful to His church. Our ministry, our life of service must be revolve around and in and through His local New Testament church. And the unfaithful Christian needs revival. You're not what God saved you to be. He saved you to be faithful, not unfaithful. God intends for His children to live faithful Christian lives. We're to be faithful, telling the gospel story that changed our lives. Dear God, if people were in the desert starving for water, and we'd just been out there to the water hole and got a drink and refused to tell them, that person would be a criminal of the worst sort. We know where the water of life is, and they're starving, and we're not telling them. Let them die. Let them go to hell. I got mine. Who cares about them? Well, I'm here to tell you somebody cared about you. You know, during the week of soul winning, the entire Sanchez family off of our bus were baptized. They'd been saved, and we'd been praying for them. They all got baptized. Today, three nephews of the Sanchez family were baptized. They had gotten saved, and they were baptized off of the bus, out of the bus ministry. Man, that's the way God does it. Thank God somebody cared about the Sanchez family. Thank God somebody visited them and prayed for them and loved them and encouraged them. And I want you to know there is a Sanchez family in your life. We need revival so you can care about them as you ought to care about them and help them to come to God and obey God as God would have them be. We can't do that and be unfaithful church members and unfaithful Christians. He intends that we be faithful in our ministry. And by the way, I say it like that because God intends that every one of us be involved in some ministry. What is your ministry? Name me one thing that you're involved in as ministry for the Lord Jesus Christ. You're saved? You're a member of this church? What's your ministry? What are you involved in trying to reach people with the gospel and help people grow with the God for the Lord? What are you doing to get people saved? I'm telling you, we need revival. He intends that we be faithful in our ministry and we be faithful in giving our tithes and offerings. And let me get to the second place. You'll be glad for me to move on. God has a formula for revival. A formula for revival. Now, man can't bring revival. Preachers can't preach it down. But God will send it when He finds people willing to meet His conditions. He said in 2 Chronicles 7:14, "If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and heal their land." You ought to underline those. Humble themselves. Pray and seek my face. That's what we do when we get on our knees. We're seeking God's face and God's will. Turn from our wicked ways. Then, you know, revival is like a bank vault or safe. It has a combination lock and will only open when the correct combination is used. No matter how hard you try, you'll not get that bank vault open or the safe open without the combination. You can't decide to make up your own combination. You must use the one assigned to that vault. I tried to get on the internet the other day onto a particular site that I was signed on and I forgot my password. And I made up passwords and passwords and passwords until they evidently thought this was somebody that was trying to break in. He didn't have a ride on there and they shut me out. You're not going to get into God's revival safe without the right combination. You can't make up your own combination. You must use the one assigned to that vault. God has a formula for revival. A combination that moves God to revive and heal His people. It's very simple. First of all, humble thyself. Humble thyself before the Lord. Boy, there's a problem. We're so puffed up with pride and self-worth. God says if you're going to have my revival, enjoy my presence and my blessings, the first step is humility. Humble thyself. Humble thyself. It's not easy to stand or fall on your face before God and tell Him just how worthless we really are. You're not going to know revival without doing that. Humble thyself. Realizing that you are at best a sinner saved by grace. God is holy. God is all power. God is the magnificent one. God is the God of gods and the Lord of glory. He deserves our humility. And yet we look at Him as though He's nothing. We think about Him and ignore Him, disobey Him, and do things our way and ignore His way. But God said if you want revival, you've got to humble yourself. Humble yourself. Secondly, He said, you've got to pray and seek my face. Pray and seek my face. That means seek God's will, God's presence, God's reviving. Usually when we pray, we just tell God what we want and that's it. Have you ever thought about what God wants from your life? You ever stop and give any thought to why God saved you and left you here? Pray and seek His face. And then the third thing, turn from our wicked ways. Well, here's what the average Christian does. We have this sin, or these sins. We know they're sins. And we commit them and then ask God to forgive us for them and go right back and commit them again. Somewhere, God says, you ought to get over that. Somewhere you ought to get beyond it. Somewhere you ought not allow, you ought to grow to the place where you don't allow that sin to rule over you. Turn from thy wicked ways. Turn from thy wicked ways. God wants us to stop going the way of the world and turn around and go the opposite direction, God's way. Now, I didn't make this up, folks. God said it. I believe it. There'll never be revival until all three parts of God's combination are used. If a person drops one of the numbers of a combination, the lock's not going to open. And you can't choose which one of these three you don't want to do. And that's the way we do the Bible. We go through the Bible and we decide what we want to accept out of the Bible and we throw the rest of it away. But it's all God's Word. I ask you tonight again, as I have frequently, what part of the Bible have you chosen not to practice? What part of the Bible do you willfully disobey? Notice some things in our lives that need reviving. Our eyes need reviving. When I was a little boy, I used to sing in the booster band at church. That's what it was called. Me and the other kid in our church made up that little group. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little hands, what you do. Be careful, little mouth, what you say. Be careful, big ears, what they hear. Be careful, little feet, where they go. We need a revival of our eyes. Are you watching the wrong things? Are you reading the wrong things? Are you going to the wrong places on your computer? Are you watching the things on your television that God's people ought not be looking at with their eyes? Our eyes need revival. You can tell when you're right with God and something comes on that's not right because there's something inside of you that says, you need to get that off. You don't need to listen to that. Now, if you're married, if you're saved and married to a wife like I am, you have two voices that help you. And hey, that's not bad. That's not bad. Some of you guys would be wise to listen to your wives about some of these things. Oh, that's not all that bad. Well, first of all, if you're watching it, sir, you're ignoring the voice of God inside of you. And if you've got a good wife, you're ignoring her voice also. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Our understanding needs reviving. You say, what do you mean? Our understanding so we can understand the precepts of God's Word. Some of you guys and ladies, man, you're sharp on computers. Some of you can program a computer. You do all these little O's and X's and that stuff that speaks in computer language that looks like funny book cussing to me. And you're making, you've been reading those funny books. Yeah. And they're putting together a program and a computer responds to that to do what you want it to do. But you don't understand the precepts of God's Word. We need a revival that'll cause our understanding to understand the precepts of God's Word once again. And let me tell you, we need a revival in the area of getting back to our prayer time and Bible time. I promise you, there's three areas in your Christian life, in most people's Christian life, that we struggle with the most. One of them is our Bible reading time. Our prayer time. And thirdly, our witnessing to an unsaved world. We're not going to be much of a Christian if our prayer time and Bible time does not have a priority place in our life. We need a revival once again that there's a day of judgment that's really coming when we're going to have to stand before God and give an account. Give an account of our stewardship and the choices that we made, willfully made, that took us away from being good stewards for our Lord. We need a revival of the reality of the judgment seat of Christ. You think we're going to stand up there and God's going to ignore all of our rebellion and indifference and unconcern? Lack of faithfulness? There's a judgment day coming. Do you think God's going to ignore the fact that we live our life and never give a thought to the need of others? Nobody in this world can meet the need of lost souls except Christians because we alone can give the gospel and explain it. We're going to stand before God and give an account to that. We need a revival that'll bring us back to the place where we understand the importance of our home, our children, and our marriage. And may I say, the will of God for our home and our marriage and our children is not to get so busy in the world and the things of the world that we don't have time for God's church. You've got your priorities mixed up big time if you don't have time for God's church. Well, I've got so much going on with my kids. Little League and school and this outing and that outing and Boy Scouts and Girl Scouts. I remember when those organizations used to encourage you to be faithful to church. Now then they take you camping on Sunday. Something's missing. Something's wrong. We need a revival that'll put God back in the place of priority. And we need a revival of the purpose and the will of God in our lives once again. Are you living in the will of God for your life? We need a revival that'll bring us back to the place where we'll honestly cry, Lord, not my will, thine be done. Now, are you the kind of Christian who'll realize and admit that you need revival? Will you seek after it in your life tonight? Or will you just go on like you are? If you're unsaved and here tonight, the Bible says you're lost. You're unsaved. The Bible says in reference to you that the Lord loves you and God is not ignoring you. The Lord is not slack concerning His promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. And I'm here to tell you, if you're one of the unsaved here tonight, we have a God in heaven that will receive you and forgive you of your sins and save your soul if you will come to Him and accept Him by faith. And then I want to ask Christians, will you be honest about your own life and own need? Are you that Christian in need of revival? Are you out of God's will? God tells us in His Word that if we'll confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. There's got to come a day in our life when we get honest with God about sin in our life. We need revival. We need revival. Don't wait until your life is wasted and it's too late. Don't live your life as it is and take your family down a road to worthlessness so that your children follow the same path you follow. Don't you think it's time you get right and you put God back in the right place so your children also can grow up and love God and serve God? We need revival. We need to say yes to Him today. We need to be honest and say, Lord, I need revival. And we need to submit ourselves to Him and Him alone. Father, thank You for Your care and concern about us. Lord, You have every right and every reason just to turn Your back on us completely. God, would You do a work in our hearts? I ask it in Jesus' name. Begin to play when you get a chance.